I'd like to welcome everyone to worship this morning. If you want to take a moment and look in this bulletin insert or take it home with you, better yet, it gives you a lot of information on what's going on in the life of the church this coming week. Michael Williams is in Rome, Italy, and we thought it was more efficient if I preach here instead of all of us going to Rome to worship with him. I have an obligatory announcement about our charge conference. We have to announce in advance that the charge conference is happening, and it is happening on November 20th, 6 p.m. downstairs in McWhorter Hall. It is an annual meeting for the church where we do a lot of business, so it's an important meeting. If you have not yet picked out a piece of glass for the Legacy of Light stained glass project, they are set up in Bishop's Parlor this morning. It may be the last Sunday that they're set up. There's been great participation, so if you haven't yet picked out a piece of glass, you're invited to do so after the service. Everyone is invited to the United Methodist Church Creation Care Summit on November 15th. It's from 9 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. in McWhorter Hall downstairs. We'll have Candler School of Theology professor Jennifer Ayers, who will be speaking. You can make reservations on the church website for that event. We also celebrate that we have two representatives from Amos Health and Hope. They're here with us this morning. We have John Carroll. John, would you stand up so people can see your handsome face? And with John is Desiree Sanabria. Desiree is a volunteer program coordinator. Go ahead and stand up. And John is their delegations program manager, a delegation of short-term mission teams that come down. So they coordinate that. If anyone would like to learn more about Amos Health and Hope, they're going to be out in Reed Hall following the service at a table that's set up with members of our outreach committee. Thank you for being here. The Reconciliation Christmas Party is starting to ramp up activities, so we're looking for sponsors to help with that project. There's information in here about that. And the last announcement, I promise, is nationally known storyteller Donald Davis is going to be here to lead a life story workshop on Saturday, November 22nd. It's from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. It's an experiential workshop to go through some memory-triggering exercises to remember your own life story and your family's story and to capture those and to begin to share and shape our family histories. To register for that event, you can also go to the church website. It's Life Story Workshop. With that, let's refocus on our preparing to worship. Thanks for being here.
Sing and rejoice. We gather this day to see God.
And to stand in the glory of God.
As God is glorified in this place,
we may share that glory with all.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. Merciful God, we confess that so often our discipleship has been weak. When we have failed to serve as Jesus served, forgive us. When we have failed to love one another as Jesus loves us, forgive us. When we have been happy to proclaim our devotion to Jesus with our lips and then denied him by our actions, forgive us. When we forget to follow your commands and the world is unable to recognize that we are yours, forgive us. Hear this good news. In Jesus Christ, we are loved and we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Children that want to come up here at this time to join us? Not yet.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Janet Lynn Harden and Matthew Charles Harden bring their daughter, Grace Caroline Harden, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Matt and Janet, I ask you on behalf of the community, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms it presents itself to you? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all nations, ages, and races? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and lead a Christian life? Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Answer by saying, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in Christian faith and life and include this child before you now in your care? With God's help,
we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ.
We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in her service to others. We will pray for her, that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on an ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, with you and the Holy Spirit, lives and reigns forever. Amen. What name is given this child?
Grace Caroline.
Thank you. Grace Caroline. Grace Caroline, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. If you'll pray with me and put your hands on her. Grace Caroline, you being born through water and the Spirit, may the Holy Spirit work within you, making you a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen. Perfect. Let's walk to the center.
Will the congregation please stand and face Grace Caroline? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Grace Caroline to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Grace Caroline. And we welcome you in Christian love.
As members together with you in the body of Christ and this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church, by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Let us now pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to John. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. As I have said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
If there are any other children in the congregation that would like to come forward, we'll be happy to have you down here. We could use a few more people. Hello. Glad you guys are here. You're in church, right?
Right.
You know, when you're here, do you feel like God is present in this room? Yep, God is present in this room. You know, a lot of times we'll say, God is with us. We are not alone. But you know what else? God is also present outside of this room. Everywhere in the world, God is present. So you don't have to just be at church to experience God. If you're open and aware to God everywhere you go, God has a way of filling you with love. Because there's one thing that's critically important in your lives. That's that each one of you and every person in here knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are beloved children of God. Do you feel like you're beloved children of God? You are. And you know what else? You are loved by every person sitting in this room right now. Isn't that kind of weird? You don't even know a lot of these people. But that's part of being the body of Christ in this congregation, is that we're called to care for each other. And that's what Jesus said in the scripture we just read. The world will know who we are by how we love each other. So you're called to love each other. But I don't want you to let that to stress you out. It's hard to love people sometimes. All you need to remember is that you are beloved children of God. And when you believe that, God has a way of filling you up with love so it kind of overflows into the world and you love other people. So don't be stressed. In just a minute, I'm going to preach to the whole congregation. And the message is going to be about a certain person who was a member of this congregation and how he got filled with God's love and it poured out into the world. So y'all listen for that, okay? All right, let's pray. Loving God, once more we gather together as your people. Lord, we ask that you empower us through your Holy Spirit to connect to one another, that your love may flow through us and each of us may be channels of that love toward each other and the world wherever we go. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you all for being here. Kind of dusty up here. For you newcomers, Michael Williams has been here for about 4 years, and he preaches from right down there, so it's a, kind of an insider joke, and I apologize. So how are we doing when it comes to how we love each other? Do you think the world would recognize who we are and who we belong to by the way we love each other? You know, I think it might. You know, granted, we're not perfect, but as a congregation, West End does a great job living together as a community in mutuality and respect, in support, with Christian love being the foundation of our shared life together. And it's because we do recognize God is working in our midst. This congregation's diversity of thought and backgrounds is very, very broad. And this broad range of perspectives has been a huge gift to God's ministries here at West End. Thankfully, by recognizing God's love for us, we become aware of God working through people who are different than we are and who have different perspectives than us. And I think that, combined with 140-plus years of this community gathering together at least monthly around the Lord's table to participate in Holy Communion, I think that allows us to be more grace-filled in how we interact with each other. And I think that's how it works. As we're filled with God's love, we're empowered to love each other. And we are called to care for each other. And together, we discern that God was calling us to be and become the loving light of Christ, connecting and transforming. We work on the connections. We work on connecting to people, ideally people who are different than we are. And then we count on God to be faithful in His promises, and transformations happen, not just to the people who are different than we are, but to us in the process. Our reading from the Gospel of John centers on the fact Jesus knows His time has come. He knows His death is imminent. And this knowledge serves to guide the rest of this chapter in John. Jesus explains His relationship to God by unpacking this mutual glorification of God and Himself that's about to happen. And yes, it's confusing. And yes, the disciples really didn't have a clue what He was saying. Let me read you just this one part. Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in Him. If God's been glorified in Him, God will also glorify Him in Himself and will glorify Him at once." Crystal clear, isn't it? Bottom line is, Jesus is pointing to the incarnation of God in Christ. Christ was God's love to the world. So when we recognize Christ, we recognize God's love. So the disciples were probably pretty unsure at what He was saying. It is kind of complicated. He's using past tense 3 times, future tense 2 times for the verb to glorify. And it's 5 times in 2 verses. I mean, it's a lot more than I can handle. But the message is clear. He's simply saying that God was in Him and He was in God in such a deep sense of interconnectedness and mutuality that they could not be separated. God was present and actively teaching and loving the world through Jesus Christ. So then Jesus continues to explain how this highly relational movement of God's love would spread across the globe. He tells the disciples that the world would best know that they were His followers by the way they loved each other. I could picture them nodding their heads saying, "Yeah, we can do that. We can love each other. Sure. No problem." But then Jesus added a caveat. He said, "Just as I have loved you, so you should love each other." Now that changed that equation a little bit, because they had just experienced Jesus washing their feet, and that confused them. Peter argued. And they have been witnessing the way Jesus' inclusive connection to the world embodied God's love. It was this radical love that included those who were on the fringes, those who were excluded, the poor, the widows, the orphans, the sick. He would sit down with sinners and tax collectors. And quite simply, He was there loving those people who may not have been easy to love. So that phrase that He added, "just as I have loved you," complicated what they were hearing just a little bit. And He called that the new commandment. Now, they were raised in the Jewish tradition, so they understood the commandment to love was central in the Torah. Leviticus and Deuteronomy all, you know, talk about that. And for us, the commandment to love is central to the New Testament. And disciples would have just heard Jesus explain to the legal expert in the law that the greatest commandment was to love God and love your neighbor. So now He's given them a new commandment, and I'm certain they were still confused. And they were going to remain confused until Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit moved God's love, the Spirit of Christ, into them. And they became incarnate with Jesus Christ. They didn't get it, but they would eventually. Jesus was simply explaining how the incarnation of God in Him was going to continue this relational movement of God's love in the world. It was through them and eventually through us. The love Christian communities have shown toward other communities is how Jesus is recognized in the world, person by person, community by community. People not only recognize Christ, but they also experience Jesus Christ in the exchanges and in the lives of his followers. It's incarnational theology. That's that whole circular argument about God's glorified in Christ. And, you know, it's basically there's a mutual indwelling between. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ is incarnate in the lives of his followers, even to this day. And that's why we believe we're called to be the loving light of Christ, connecting and transforming. Because we're the body of Christ. Christ is incarnate in this community. You know, at times, that light shines very, very brightly here through many of God's ministries, like Room at the Inn, Habitat Builds, Project Transformation, our many mission trips, our connections with groups like Amos. We see that radiant light, that loving light, in the children's choir rehearsals and worship experiences. And we see it in this choir here of slightly older children. And we see it in the hundreds of other nourishing ministries that we have opportunities to participate in. It happens here. The loving light of Christ does shine. You know, no question, it could happen more often. But the message is that it's not going to happen through our own power. It's not going to happen because we've decided we're going to suck it up and go out in the world to be loving. That's not how God's love works. None of us can continue to grow in our ability to love outside of ourselves for the good of others until we honestly believe that we're beloved children of God. That's important. Recognizing God's love for us and being open to that love, it's how incarnation works. It's how we become filled and empowered to love one another, person to person, community to community. It's a very relational movement. We're the ones reminding each other, making a witness to the way God loves us. So if that's how it works, why is it when we look at the world, it seems so broken? I think it might be because sometimes we find it very difficult to believe that someone like us could be loved. Or as simple as we don't feel loved in the moment. Or we have made some terrible mistakes or have some personal secrets that are holding us back. We're not able to let go of past hurts and forgive. Or, quite honestly, we don't love ourselves. And if we don't love ourselves, it's virtually impossible to truly believe that God, or anyone else for that matter, could possibly love us. So if we don't believe God loves us, then we can't be open to God's nourishment, and certainly we're not positioned to carry that love into the world, to care for others. So we're stuck right there, and the movement stops. And sadly, many people are stuck, and far too many people have never experienced love at all, at least not the kind of love that God gives. Loving outside of God's self for the ultimate good of those God loves. And expecting nothing in return. Many people have lived their entire lives stuck in this horrid realm of isolation that leads to brokenness, depression, illness, and really a painfully unhappy life. People who are stuck often treat their pain with alcohol and drugs, gambling, relationships, overspending, addiction to excitement, and countless other addictions. And they're searching or they're hiding because they're missing the only source of true fulfillment and joy in this lifetime. And that's being empowered to move outside of ourselves for the good of others. Addiction in our culture is at epidemic proportion. And when one person is suffering in this realm, We all hurt when there are people we care about. But there is hope. There's always hope. Actually, if you think about it, we're in the hope business. I have grown since I've been at West End to believe some of the most spiritual things that happen in this building happen in the lower level, in our 12-step recovery group programs downstairs. We have dozens of groups that meet every week, probably more than just about every other location in town. This is where true connecting takes place and transformation happens on a daily basis. The connections that this congregation facilitates by hosting these groups have led to true transformation, resurrection, if you will, in thousands of people. These relationships, these connections are the power of this 12-step recovery process. More authentic things happen, and dare I say, more resurrection happens downstairs than probably anywhere else in this building. And this is where people learn to be honest and forgive themselves and to forgive others, to accept their brokenness and depend on their higher power for support and nourishment. And they begin to accept the possibility that they might actually be loved. If you look around in this sanctuary on any given Sunday, there are many more people than most of you realize that are sitting in this room who are in recovery. And I believe that recovery from addiction is central to the relational movement of God's love in the world. It's about wholeness. It's about moving toward wholeness during this lifetime. Part of our membership vows as United Methodist is to serve Christ through the ministries here with our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. We don't spend enough time making a witness to how we've experienced God's love or seen God's love. So I'd like to share with you a quick story about the life of longtime West End member Duke Kennedy. He was a good friend. Many of you knew him because he was often an usher outside those doors right there. Sadly, Duke died this last month. But in preparing for the service to celebrate his life, I had the honor of hearing many, many heartwarming stories about Duke Kennedy and his 30 years supporting and serving in the recovery community. Duke had become a walking example of the power of God's love in this world to transform people. In recovery, Duke began to believe that God really loved him. And he discovered that joy of serving outside of himself and loving and supporting others. Simply by using the gifts that he had, including his own personal painful story. He shared that story. He opened his life, including his own blunders and hurts, and offered care and compassion to God's hurting world. His son, Rob, and daughter, Susan, they were quick to point out that Duke did not subscribe to the anonymous part of Alcoholics Anonymous. He respected other people's privacy, but he chose to be an open book, willing to share his story with anyone who might benefit from hearing it. Duke embodied incarnational theology. He was the wounded healer in the truest sense of the word. He allowed the redemptive power of God to work through him, and that empowered other to experience resurrection through recovery. Here's one paragraph that I took off Rob's Facebook wall the week after his father's death. It says, "Duke made an enormous difference in the lives of thousands of people. There are those he helped directly and the family and friends of those that he loved. He was inspirational without being preachy. He was direct without being judgmental. And he was selfless in his mission. He was always just a phone call away for anyone in need. This is a man that made our world a better place. And this man will never forget him. Rob and Susan, you should be proud." I wanted to share this story with you because it so accurately embodies what our scripture reading today is about. It's not that Duke was out doing all this good, is that Duke learned to open up his heart and his life to the power of God's love. God empowered him to connect with and love so many people, both within and outside of the recovery community. This later in life spiritual awakening is something we need to celebrate and we need to share. God's love was incarnate in Duke Kennedy. So when people look at us, do they recognize that we're Christ followers by the way we love each other? But just as God's love was present in Jesus Christ, empowering him to embody God's unimaginable love to the world, to include the poor, the widows, the orphans, the sick, just like that, so can we be empowered to love each other and love ourselves. Not only is that how it works, that's how it has to work. When we experience God's love and we keep our hearts and minds open to it, God changes us. God literally empowers us to be channels of God's grace in the world. And friends, we have the undeserved honor of participating in this channel of God's love as it travels from person to person, from community to community, changing lives along the way. Thanks be to God. I invite you now to stand as you're able. Open your hymnals to number 886. It's the World Methodist Social Affirmation. You'll read the bold text. We believe in God, creator of the world and of all people, and in Jesus Christ incarnate among us, who died and rose again, and in the Holy Spirit present with us to guide, strengthen, and comfort.
We believe, God, help our unbelief.
We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation, in each act of self-giving on behalf of others, in the abundance of God's gifts entrusted to us that all may have enough, in all responsible use of the earth's resources.
Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace.
We confess our sin, individual and collective, by silence or action, through the violation of human dignity based on race, class, age, sex, nation, or faith, through the exploitation of people because of greed and indifference, through the misuse of power in personal, communal, national, and international life, through the search for security by those military and economic forces that threaten human existence, through the abuse of technology which endangers the earth and all life upon it.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
We commit ourselves individually and as a community to the way of Christ, to take up the cross, to seek abundant life for all humanity, to struggle for peace with justice and freedom, to risk ourselves in faith, hope, and love, praying that God's kingdom may come.
Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
Good morning, West End United Methodist Church. We are glad that you are here to worship with us this morning. If you're a first-time visitor, we would love to welcome you and say hello. Please join us in Reed Hall, which is just to the doors to your right, at the Bread for the Journey table, where you can receive a small loaf of bread and talk to someone about ways that you can be involved in this congregation. If you are a college student, we welcome you and hope that you'll join us for lunch. In the fireside room, which is on the third floor, room 322, find another student and go and come and eat with us. We'd love to have you and meet you. Please note that there's a gray card in the pew in front of you. On one side, you can put comments for staff or lay leadership. On the other side, you can put prayer requests. When the offering plate comes by, you can stick the card there. Also, there is an attendance pad that we'd love for you to sign, pass down the row, and know who you're worshiping with. Say hello to one another. This morning, our thoughts and prayers are with the family of Jean Goodman Stumpf, who died Thursday, November the 6th. Among her survivors are Sam and Jane Stumpf, son and daughter-in-law, Paul Stumpf, her son, and Kathy and Katie and Jeannie Stumpf, who are our granddaughters. Prepare us now, O God, to hear your voice as we lift up both our silent and our spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. You, Creator God, who has ordered us in families and communities, in clans and tribes, in states and nations. You, Creator God, who enact your governance in ways overt and in ways hidden. You exercise your will for peace, for justice, and for freedom. We give you thanks for all of the peaceable order in our nation and for the chance of choosing and voting. We lament the way power is used to exclude the ones you care, the lame and the blind, the hungry, the homeless, the poor, the prisoners and the ones who thirst. And we are in touch by our baptisms with them. We pray now for the new governance, that your will and purpose will prevail, that our leaders may have a sense of justice and goodness, that we as citizens may care about your purpose. We pray now for the world, for your peace to enter the lives of victims of war and violence, for your abundance to overflow in the lives of children and family who are crushed by hunger and poverty. And we pray for your grace and love to enter our lives. We pray in the name of Jesus, who was killed by the authorities and taught us to pray for your coming kingdom. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, because we give thanks for all that God has already given us, we offer our tithes and offerings so that God's light might further illuminate the world.
go forth in peace to love and serve others, and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are a beloved child of God.